This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim once again with another daily tafsir. We are doing a juz a day, and alhamdulillah, we're at juz number 12. And we're past the third of the Quran, and the beginning of juz number 12 is in the second page of Surah Hud. And the ayah that begins is a magnificent ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. And that kind of sets the theme of the surah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent, meaning that there is no creature that walks the earth except it is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for them. And therefore you see that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah speaks about His grandeur, His majesty, about who He is and what He has provided for us as human beings and for everything that exists in this beautiful earth that He has created for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, Allah speaks about three essential themes: His majesty, the vastness of His knowledge, and Him being the Ar-Razzaq, the provider, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never to fear to go without with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah also speaks about the Qur'an as being something that is a miracle that is sent by Him to humanity. In other places in the Quran, Allah says, bring something similar to it. If you can't bring 10 surahs similar to it, 10 chapters, if you can't even just one chapter, and they can't. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they were at the height of Arabic culture and poetry. Nothing could be brought to rival the Quran. And therefore, the surah is set as something that talks about the da'wah and the preaching of the deen and using the resources that Allah has provided us. The first resource is the Book of Allah. And therefore, when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about these chapters in the Quran, he said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودُ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. The chapter Hud and its sister surahs made my hair turn gray, gave me gray in my hair, because it's something that shows the obligation of being a person who is going to be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah establishes the book, and Allah speaks about the job of the one who preaches it. Then Allah speaks about examples of the past, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if a crash training course and a technical framework. He speaks about so many prophets in this surah. Subhanallah, Allah speaks about Nuh and Hud and Salih and Ibrahim and Lut and Shu'aib and Musa. All of them are named in this one chapter, and many of them with great detail. The first prophet that is addressed with great detail is Nuh alayhi salam. And Allah speaks about the relationship between Nuh and his rebellious people, and then Allah segments one of those rebellious people as being a person from his own family, his own son and his own wife, Imra'ata Nuh, who both disbelieved in him and began to fulfill and deal wickedness in the land. And subhanAllah, Allah sees Nuh alayhi salam through the storm, and Nuh witnesses his son drown in front of him. After inviting him to believe and to get on the ship of salvation, his son says, Sa'awi ila jabal, rather my father, I will climb up a mountain. And he says, no one will protect you except Allah. And therefore we learn the power of that our love for Allah must transcend the love of anything else, even our beloved children. Hud is a central figure, and this is where the surah gets his name. Hud alayhi salam, the greatest story that is mentioned about him is the power of istighfar. And Hud is constantly inviting his people to turn back to Allah, ask Him for forgiveness. And if you do so, Allah then shows that there are two gains that you can have through istighfar: a material, physical blessing in your life, where you will be given material wealth and happiness and success. And istighfar will also increase your spiritual contentment and increase your position with Allah on the Day of Judgment. And therefore that's powerful. It only strengthens you to humble yourself to Allah. Allah also speaks about Hud and all the other prophets in terms of their patience and their tawakkul, trusting Allah. And it's a secret, it's an implicit way, a secret way of saying to the Prophet ﷺ, I'm going to shake the feet beneath you, ya Muhammad. Be patient, kama sabara ulul azm, as others who came before you were required to be patient. And therefore you see, other prophets that are mentioned, Shu'aib alayhi salam, it shows Islam's care for financial responsibility and fiscal management, and that we shouldn't be corrupting in the land and treating people with inequity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of Lut, of sexual immorality, and the conduct of people that steps out what is the biological norms and going beyond it in cravings that are seen as sinful within Islam. Allah gives the example of Ibrahim as being a tempered prophet who has goodwill and hope, even though he's rejected from every group of people that he sees. And finally, Allah speaks about the power of Allah to subjugate someone as tyrannical as Moses. And finally, the last section of the surah, Allah speaks about connecting to Allah. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you establish salah, aqim as-salah, establish your prayer, and if you remain steadfast, and if you're a person of patience and perseverance, and you trust Allah, you will be from those who su'idu. And Allah ends this ayah, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ. As for those who find final true happiness, contentment in life, they will find themselves in Jannah. The juz then transitions into chapter number 12, which is Yusuf alayhi salam, and this is the 12th juz as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Yusuf in great detail, and Allah refers to the surah as Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of narrative stories that can be told, that you can extract lessons from it. In this story of Yusuf are, about being tested in life, about being tested and then blessed. That if you are tested and you are patient, you'll be blessed. About humiliation, and if you're tested with it, and if you remain patient and true, that you can be brought back to honor. It, from enslavement to kingship and to be an authority in the land. From division and separation from your family to being brought and made whole and united. From grief of Ya'qub alayhi salam at the loss of not one but two sons, and the treachery of his elder sons, but at the joy of reconciling and having peace. At hardships transitioning into ease, and that the ease washes away the feelings of hardship, and of denial to affirmation and accepting one's errors of the past to free oneself through repentance and acceptance of sins. The beautiful story, As-Sabr al-Jameel, and this story is about love. Yusuf alayhi salam, the chapter, its greatest theme is love. And the love of a father to a son, the love of material wealth, the love of attention, all these different righteous loves and immoral loves are all found. The love of an infatuated woman, the love of sin, all of those are addressed in this surah. But it's broken down into three important parts: the childhood years of Yusuf, the youthful years of Yusuf, and the adult years of Yusuf alayhi salam, with many lessons to be learned. All throughout, we see the miraculous ability of Yusuf alayhi salam to interpret dreams and to foretell the future by the knowledge provided to him by Allah. In Yusuf's childhood, you see discussions in the early part of the chapter and in the late part of the juz about the dreams that he would see, the dreams that the king would see, and how it was interpreted by his father, interpreted by Yusuf, the dreams that the prisoners would see, and Yusuf would tell him even what would come of food the next day. Jealousy of brothers and jealousy within the family is something real, and sibling rivalry is addressed in the Quran, that the hostility can lead a person to making irrational judgments that can push a person further than they initially thought or wanted to go. And all of it comes back to Yusuf alayhi salam being prepared for something great, and that when you are put in hardship and you are put in fitna, it proves your mettle and your gold rises and you become worthy of it. Then Yusuf's transitional story is that he's given beauty and he is attempted to be seduced by a mistress of his home, one who is higher than him in wealth and status, and orders him in menial jobs. And this seduction is a great test. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّدْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. He protects himself from immodesty by requesting from Allah, making dua to be imprisoned. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. And this shows the consciousness of Yusuf, but also shows that Yusuf alayhi salam made a dua that had he chosen other, may have given him greater protection. It's at this moment that the dreams of the king come to bear, and Yusuf interprets them and gives freedom. And what was destruction now becomes an uprighting. And that's where juz number 12 ends, with the woman who was accusing Yusuf finally admitting her guilt and taking ownership of it and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your brother Yahya Ibrahim with a daily tafsir, a juz a day, and this was juz number 12. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.